Well, this morning, I just want to talk about the love of God. And a lot of you might have been here. Well, first of all, we want to thank all of you that are still here from Winter Bible Seminar. I know a number of people are still here, still in town. But on last Sunday night, so a week ago, when Dad started Winter Bible Seminar, he talked about my grandfather's last message, you know, before he departed, well, at camp meeting. He talked about the love of God. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to start off in John chapter 3, verse number 16. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, mainly because it's a newer translation. I don't read, I normally know this from the King James or the New King James, but I read this morning from New Living. I must read it here. It says, "For this is how God loved the world." See, this is talking about how God loved the world. How did he love the world? He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So this is how God loved the world, that he gave up his only son, that he sent his only son into the world. And you know, it's really hard to really understand that until you start having kids. Once you start having kids, you're thinking, you know what, to give up my child to save somebody else, you know, most people would say, I would rather give up myself than give up my child. You know, you want to protect your children. But God loved us so much, he gave up his one and only son to save mankind. You know, but it goes on to say that God sent his son into this world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now, you know, what really God was trying to say is he sent his son to the world to love the world and not to judge the world, to show forth my love to the world. See, we're not supposed to judge people, we're supposed to love people. And you know, it seems that Christians seem to be more judgmental. And we shouldn't be judging people, we should be loving people. You're like, but they're not getting saved, or they're not doing things that they should do. Well, that's the next verse. It says this, "But there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son." So it's not for us to judge the world, it's for us to love the world. Well, how do we love the world? Well, we show forth God's love to the world. I found out that it's really hard to win someone over to Christ being judgmental. You know, I found out that telling someone they're going to hell is probably not the best way to win them over. Or telling them that their religion is wrong. I mean, I was, one number of years ago, I was out in California, really nice day. And so we decided to go rollerblading. That was kind of the craze of the time. And we went to Newport Beach. And we were rollerblading, myself and David Kramer, used to be over the bookstore. He was with me. We were actually at a convention out there. And we stopped and got some refreshments. There was like a little concession stand. And we sat down, and there was a guy that was supposedly preaching the good news there. And so we decided, oh, listen, see what this guy says. And so he just started off on if you're... you know, I can't remember. He went on Buddhists and all kinds of different religions, basically telling everyone they're going to hell. I'm not saying he was lying, but he wasn't preaching any happiness. And then he got over to the Muslim religion, and there happened to be someone who was Muslim there. Well, then this guy gets up, gets in his face, and they begin to have an argument. And pretty soon, there was a police officer there. They broke it up, sent everybody home. I'm thinking, you know, this guy probably comes up here every day and gets nobody saved, because he's not preaching the gospel in love. You know, for God so loved the world, and you know, we are his hands and his feet, and we should be loving the world. We should love people. And obviously, if we read the two commandments that Jesus gave over in Matthew 22, Matthew 22, verse 36, says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Now, I call that the no-duh commandment. Because if you're a Christian and you don't love God, then there's an issue. I mean, obviously, I mean, I've never met a Christian that's ever said, man, I have trouble loving God. It's just really difficult to love God. But I have heard Christians say, it's difficult to love people. Or I have trouble in my love walk. Now, it is interesting because Jesus didn't stop at the first commandment. Verse 39, he goes on, a second is equally important. So he's saying this is just as important as loving God. And I want you to understand, if you're having trouble with your love walk, then you have trouble loving God, because I don't know if you really know what God's love really is unless you love people. He goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself. And the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Now, love your neighbor as yourself. First of all, that's pretty interesting, because people say, oh yeah, I love my neighbor. Now, the neighbor is not just the people next door. In fact, if you go on to one of the other accounts, he talks about who is your neighbor, and he gives a Good Samaritan story. The Good Samaritan story basically is loving someone that you were trained to hate. So, you know, we should love our neighbor. Now, this is important. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, there are people who really love themselves. In fact, I have digital friends. Some of them are really actually my friends. But there are certain people that put out a selfie every day. I mean, it's like clockwork. It doesn't mean I turn my computer on. And now many of them now have made those a story. You know, the story goes away, so that way there's not, you know, 50 million pictures of themselves. But every day they put a story and they're taking a picture of themselves. And that's fine. I don't care, you know. Maybe they want everyone to know what they're wearing today. But I'm saying, if you love yourself, then you got to love your neighbor as equally as important as yourself. And, you know, I remember one time talking to my grandfather, and he says, you know what, the word hate should never be in your vocabulary concerning anyone except for the devil. The only person you're allowed to hate is the devil. You know, and I get it. I mean, I've heard, I mean, obviously right now we need to be praying for the country of Ukraine. There's many, many Christians there, and, you know, a lot of stuff going on, obviously. And so people have been saying, well, I hate Putin. Well, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and rulers from on high. It's not the man, it's what's behind the man. You know, so obviously when we look at someone that we think are doing awful things, we're like, well, we hate that person. Well, the Bible says that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, and our neighbor is literally someone that we might actually in the natural hate, but we love them because there's compassion on the inside of us that loves everybody in spite of their issues. You know, praise God, God loves you in spite of your issues. We all have issues, and if you say you don't have issues, you're a liar. We all have issues. And if you want to know what they are, ask your parents, ask your siblings, ask your husband, ask your wife. They know what your issues are. Because sometimes people don't want to face their own issues. But it was interesting, you know, that Dad actually began Winter Bible Seminar talking about my grandfather's message. Because right before Winter Bible Seminar, I was on Instagram. I actually don't post much on Instagram, but I normally look at stuff on Instagram every day. I don't know. I just don't post on Instagram that much. But on Instagram, I happened to come across Mark Hankins' channel on Instagram. Anyone know Mark Hankins? Good guy. Sits right there, you know, during our special meetings. All right. And so Mark actually was talking about Brother Hagin's last message. And this was right before Winter Bible Seminar. And so I watched it again this morning before, because this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, kept rolling through my mind, you know. And so here's what he said. He says, Brother Hagin said, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. And he was prophesying when he said it. So he was prophesying during his last message that you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. He goes on to say, he said, if you read 1 Corinthians 13, and if you walk in that God kind of love. Now, notice he said not just to read it, but to read it and to be a doer of it. We have to walk in that God kind of love, because if we read something and don't do it, then it doesn't help us. Now, if you wake up every morning and say what a lot of Christians say, this is a day the Lord has made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, and the rest of the day gripe at everybody, you're not being a doer of what you even said. A lot of times we know what scriptures say, but we don't do what they say, even though we know what they say. So we actually have to be a doer of the word. And so my grandfather says, if you read 1 Corinthians 13 every day, that's the whole chapter, there's actually 13 verses, all right? And if you walk in that God kind of love, he said you'll have three things. Three things. Number one, you will find that sickness will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily. But that's not even a healing scripture. This 1 Corinthians 13 is on love. He also says, number two, like I said, he was prophesying when he said this. Number two, you'll find that the devil that is harassing you and tormenting you, he also will flee from you. Number three, he says you'll find that provision, financial blessing that you have been believing for, that the money will come. All by being a doer of 1 Corinthians 13. That's what my grandfather said. And, you know, I'm delivering this through Mark Hankins. I don't think Mark Hankins is a liar. All right, I just want to let you know, I didn't watch this thing. I'm believing that Mark's not a liar. How many believe Mark's not a liar? All right, there's a few people who didn't raise their hand, so we'll pray for you. He goes on to say, this is my grandfather says, he says you need to take 1 Corinthians 13 and read it every day, because the word of God has the power to produce what it demands. Now on that, that's why today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, because I don't believe that we can really understand what Dad was even talking about when Winter Bible Seminar started, and well, Mark, unless we actually do what it says. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to kind of talk about it a little bit as we read it together. And the reason we want to do this is because we want to find out why we should read this every day. And why we should act on it every day. And it starts out to say this. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation here. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. All right, first of all, you remember the Tower of Babel? You know, at that point in time, they confused the languages, because it says, you know, if they can all communicate to each other, they can do anything. I mean, think about this. I travel a lot, and I know a little bit of some languages. Some languages I forgot. I actually took 2 years of French. Je parle un peu français. I speak a little bit of French. But I can't remember. I mean, after the first semester, we had to speak only French, but I can't remember a whole lot of French. Speak a little bit of Portuguese, a little bit of Spanish. I'm very fluent in food Spanish. I just want to let you know. Mexican food happens to be, you know, something that I really like. Not necessarily on my diet right now, but I really like Mexican food. Now, I do want to tell you, just for some of you that might not know, when you go to Mexico, Mexican food is actually just food, okay? Just want to let you know. You know, if you go to a Mexican restaurant in Mexico, just go to a food restaurant. So anyway, it's kind of a joke. But, you know, it says so I travel a lot, and it would be awesome to be able to instantly communicate to everybody, not to have to use a translator, you know, to be able to communicate to everybody. I mean, it would be so much easier. It would get so much more accomplished. Because you realize when you use a translator that you have to cut your message in half. Because it takes longer with the translator. It takes really long if you have two translators. I did that one time. I was in Hong Kong, and we had people from mainland China. So in Hong Kong, they speak Cantonese. And in China, they speak Mandarin and Chinese. By the time the second translator finished, I'm like, I can't remember what my next sentence was. And what was even more interesting, the second translator was having trouble remembering what I said, so she was having trouble translating it, and so just a whole mess. But I mean, if you could speak to everybody, and you could speak everyone's heavenly language, so every time you had a meeting, you could hear everyone speak, I mean, you know, that would pretty sound awesome. But if you could do all that, but didn't love one another, you would be like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And see, I'm a percussionist, or at least I used to be. I used to play the drums. And I tell you, there's nothing more irritating than standing by a cymbal when it gets, you know, somebody hits the crash cymbal. Or, you know, one of the things that I always like to do, I've been a percussionist, we played many things. My favorite thing was to play the crash cymbals. And that's the guy who has two cymbals like this, and you've heard it, national anthem. Dun 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 dun. And there were some songs that Mrs. Hutton, she was my band teacher, she would say, you need to let that resonate. Well, it just so happened that we had the big horns, you know, the tubas and you know, you know, all the big horns were right in front of me. So I would do my thing, and I would let resonate above their ears. And the number of times they would get irritated at me. Now, another story about the drums is that, you know, sometimes I would get yelled at for not practicing. So I decided at one point in time, I'm going to practice in the morning when my dad's probably still sleeping. I need to, you know, I got to practice. And I remember one time that I was practicing, and I would make sure that I hit the cymbals really, really loud because they're irritating. My dad actually came to me and goes, can't you use those mallet things that we bought you? You know, I'm like, no, it doesn't sound good. I got to have the real cymbals. Now, that is one of the reasons, you notice that the drums are behind a cage because those cymbals are irritating to people in front of the thing. So the deal is, even if you can speak with all the tongues, you know, whether it be heavenly tongues or natural tongues, and communicate with everybody, but you didn't love, you would be an irritating human being. I mean, you would think, well, man, how awesome. I mean, I could be everyone's interpreter. Think, I mean, you know, but it doesn't matter. If you didn't love one another, you would be irritating. So the moral of the story is don't be irritating. All right? It goes on to say, if I had the gift of prophecy and understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I did not love others, I would be nothing. I mean, think about all this stuff. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans, you know, how many times have you like, man, I hope God knows what he's doing. I mean, this is crazy. You know, but if I could understand the whole thing from the beginning to the end, I understood everything, had all knowledge. Now, seriously, I mean, think about it. If you had all knowledge and, you know, if you had that kind of knowledge, you know how rich you would be? Because you know the stock market is going to go up today, down tomorrow, exactly what to buy, exactly, you know, what everyone's going to do. You know, also too, I mean, you can make tons of money being and working in intelligence. I mean, you know, because you could let all these people, you can work intelligence for every country because you know but I understood all God's secret plans, possess all knowledge, and that, you know what, I can speak to every mountain that it has to move, but if I did not love others, I would be nothing. It didn't matter if I had all the knowledge in the world, but I didn't love others. And so I think that God's trying to tell us, man, it's pretty important to love other people. It's pretty important to love other people. It goes on to say, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. It didn't matter if you gave everything away that you had to poor people. You know, because some people say, well, you know, if I'm a giver and I give to the poor, you know, God's going to love me more. No, if you don't love others, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're doing everything for nothing. You're doing everything for nothing. And there's so many Christians and so many people that are doing a lot of things and they're not really getting any reward because they don't show forth love. The Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. Well, if it's been shed abroad in your heart, then give it out. You know, sometimes I even wonder, I said, you know, sometimes you wonder, do you even care? It seems that most Christians, I shouldn't say most, a lot of Christians, I'll back it up to say a lot. A lot of Christians only care about their well-being and their family's well-being. All right? You know, they care a little bit about other people, but as long as they're okay, it's okay. But it's not okay if people are hurting. It's not okay, you know, when other things are going on around about you and you don't seem to care. All right? Going to verse 4, it kind of talks now about what love is. Everybody wants to know what love is. Well, first of all, love is patient and kind. It is interesting that we have to read, Paul has to tell us that love is kind. Isn't that kind of interesting? Because if you love someone, wouldn't you be kind to them? Well, I think that's why he used the word love is patient before love is kind, because love, you know, is patient. Love waits on somebody whenever you're like, you know, it doesn't say they're going to be kind back. Do you realize, now, hopefully, if you're talking about your husband or wife, then your husband or wife is kind to you. But love is patient and love is kind, even when people aren't patient and kind back to you. So we don't do unto others as they do unto us. We would do unto them, you know, like we would want them to do to us. We would be patient and kind with people. Well, what is patient? It means you wait on people. You know, but they're mean to me. I don't want to be around them. You know, but love is patient. Love waits and love is kind. Love is not jealous, boastful, or proud, or rude. Now, you know, I've seen in the Christian world, people get jealous when other people get blessed. In fact, I've even seen, you know, in our little digital world that we live in, people give a testimony online about how God blessed them, and people get mad. Quit bragging about it. You're always bragging, and you're always, no, we're not bragging. We're telling people how good God is. And see, God's no respecter of persons. So when I read a testimony, I'm like, praise God. If God's going to bless them like that, then he can bless me as well. You know, and for those that are self-righteous and feel they're a better Christian than that person, because there's some people feel that way, then if God can bless some marginal Christian like that, think how much more he can bless me because I'm super Christian. That's probably why he's not blessing you, because you think you're super Christian and you think of yourself more highly than you ought. All right. The thing about it is we should praise God with those that get blessed. I tell the story in my class, financial management, that one time I decided, first of all, the Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart. Anybody ever read that? Well, the desire of my heart was a certain automobile, all right? So I just asked God for that car. You know, because I was watching Prices Right, and I heard, a new car! No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that was always my favorite thing, Prices Right, was the new car thing. And they never said a new car. That was like, a new car! I mean, anyone ever remember that on Prices Right? Or I guess it's still on. So I believe God for a car. It took 9 months. That's not really that long. I mean, you know, like one, it was basically the school year, pretty much, actually. And but God gave me the new car, but I almost screwed up on the new car thing. What happened? How'd you almost screw up? Well, we got 6 months into me believing. Now, when I believe God for a new car, it means they didn't have a, you know, we didn't have phones that you could put a thing, but I took a pic, I had Motor Trend magazine. I took a picture of my car and put it on my mirror every day because, you know, I want to make sure I comb my hair every day. So I was looking in the mirror. And so I put that picture there and I would see that car. And every day, multiple times a day, I would say, thank you, Father, for my new car. Now, when I first started, this car wasn't even out. They didn't have it at dealerships, but at some point in time, it got out. I mean, people were driving. Every time I would see one, I'm like, thank you for my new car. Well, then, lo and behold, 6 months into the process, one of our other teachers here at Rhema, all of a sudden, one of our Rhema graduates came with the keys to a brand new Corvette, gave it to him, and said, here, this is yours. Now, it was yellow. I wasn't believing God for a Corvette, and we'll let you know that. I would have took it, but I wasn't believing God for it, okay? And so what happened was I got angry. Well, why'd you get angry? Because I went and asked the guy, you believe in God for a new car? He goes, nope. You weren't even believing God for a new car and God gave you a new car? Yep. And I'm like, so it made me angry. Now, you know, I was getting jealous. But as soon as I got angry, all of a sudden on the inside, the Lord began to say, you know what? You know, be glad for this guy. I mean, you know, look how good I am. But he also encouraged me to claim next. Now, you and my generation, you know, my generation, the video game generation, you know, we would go to the arcade and people will line their quarters up saying, I got next game. Or maybe you know, you'd be at the basketball court and people are playing, you say, I got next game. Anyone done that? Or even you know, at the pool tables, I've seen that people line their table. Well, so I claim next car. But see, you know, I will say this, at the point in time when I saw God gave that person a car, it actually kind of excited me because like, this could really happen. You know, because sometimes in our own mind, you know, we believe it, but you know, I'm like, man, this guy wasn't even believing God for a car. And he got a brand new Corvette. So God's no respecter of persons. And so the thing about it is, don't get jealous when somebody else gets their needs met. Be happy. Praise God with them. Be happy for them. But it goes on to say, love is not jealous or boastful. So you know what? It's okay to give a testimony, but just don't be so rude about it. See, God loves me more than he loves you. That's why I get stuff and you don't get stuff. Don't be like that. All right? You know, don't be boastful or proud or rude. Now, there are a lot of people that are rude. The Bible says not to be rude. So if we were going to be a doer of God's word, you know, then we shouldn't be rude. Now, let me just say this. Each and every one of us at some point in time might mess up. All right. But see, the biggest thing is we need to understand when we mess up, just like whenever I was starting to get jealous, all of a sudden on the inside, the Lord began to deal with me. So whenever, because here's the thing, we all have natural emotion. And sometimes we say things, and that's why sometimes we should be very slow to speak, especially online. How many times have you been watching the news? Well, in a deleted tweet, so-and-so said, and they pull up the tweet. You might can delete it, but someone's gonna see it before you do. So sometimes maybe if you're mad, it's not the best time to share it with the world. You know, but man, you know, we should try not to be rude. And you know, and I get it. It goes on to say, it doesn't demand its own way. So you're not selfish. Love is not selfish. And so the next thing it says, it's not irritable. And I was irritable yesterday. I want to go on record saying I was irritable and wasn't. I was tired. I don't know if you know how many people came in the healing line the other night, but it was a lot. It wore me out physically. I was really tired and I was a little bit irritable. So forgive me, Lord. I wasn't showing forth a lot of love yesterday. And then I'm thinking, man, I got to preach tomorrow. And he gave me this script. I mean, this, I read this yesterday. I just want to let you know. He brought to my remembrance 1 Corinthians 13. All right. And probably the irritable one is probably what I really needed to know. All right. So it doesn't demand its own way. So it's not selfish and it's not irritable. We want to know what love is. Love is not selfish and love is not irritable. Don't be selfish and don't be irritating. All right. But this is one of my favorite things. And this is something a lot of people do. It says it keeps no record of being wronged. Now, this is hard for a lot of Christians because see, Christians, we know the rules of baseball. 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. I'll forgive you one time. I mean, we'll get past it. Then the next time. I mean, there are a lot of Christians that keep a record from wrong. Someone does something to you, you say, well, 1976, you did the same thing. Well, 1976, a lot of people here were not even alive. I was staying alive back in 1976, so I'm not sure when the Bee Gees actually brought that song. I just thought about it. Because I used to skate double sessions every Saturday at Skate World, and they'd always play disco music. So I would hear disco music, all right, and Staying Alive, which from a movie, Saturday Night, not live, Saturday Night Fever. I actually never saw the movie, by the way, but I've heard the song. We shouldn't keep no record of being wrong because there are people going to wrong you. Some people over and over and over again. But you're going to have to learn to love them in spite of what they do. Now, here's the thing. If you did a business deal with somebody and they kept, maybe don't do any more business deals with them. But you can still love them from afar if you need to. All right. You're going to have to not be mad at somebody because, it doesn't really matter. And in the grand scheme of things, because God loves them. Yeah, but they were a liar. Well, God loves liars. God loves everybody. God is love. And so the love of God is supposed to be shed abroad on the inside of us. And so we have the capability to love people even when our natural mind doesn't want to. But see, that's whenever we have to renew our minds. And that's when we have to think like Christ. Think, Christ loved people. That's what he did. I mean, he showed forth love. I mean, remember the woman that was there caught in the midst of adultery. I'm not sure where the guy was, but the woman was there. And they were accusing the woman. And Jesus says that he without sin cast the first stone. Nobody began to throw any stones. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I get it, but some people say, yeah, but this person keeps doing it over and over and over and over. So then my thought pattern, this is what I always think. Did they do it 70 times 7? Because we clearly know that Jesus says, that we shouldn't forgive them 7 times. We should forgive them 70 times 7. Now, my grandfather went back and says, well, that's in one day. So if you have a friend that wronged you 490 times and every day, maybe you should find new friends. Anyway, but no. But you know what? Even at that, you still have to love them. It doesn't mean you have to hang around with them all the time. See, here's the difference. So some people, I've heard someone ask me this other day, I just don't like hanging around that person or whatever. Well, you can still, you just have nothing against them. It comes down to Mark 11:25. That's not one of the scriptures I told them. But going back to the King James, the way I learned it, if you have aught against any, you know, it says to get rid of that ought. Now, people say, well, what is ought? And the Lord gave me this thing, right? Well, they put it up. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have ought against any. So what is ought? Well, ought, let's say that you got invited to someone's wedding, all right? Someone actually invited you, attended. Afterwards, they had a reception, and there was somebody there that had done something against you. And people say, well, you know, people say, well, I've forgiven them. Well, if you can't be around them, if you can't say hi, if there's something that ought not to be there, that's ought. Because I found out, you know, people will be in a room and they're like, I can't be in a room with that person. If you can't be in the room with that person, you haven't forgiven them. You're holding records of wrong. You know, you ought to be able to go up and talk to them. And you know what? No matter what they've done in the past, you should be able to talk to them and say hi to them and not feel ill will toward them. And you know what? If they feel ill will toward you, so be it. The Bible doesn't say that you're responsible for how they feel. You're only responsible for how you feel. I had an individual one time that had said some kind of mean things. I was walking in the mall, and now this person doesn't know that it got back to me, to my knowledge, but I was walking in the mall, and I saw that person from afar. That's using King James Version. I saw a person, you know, a little bit away. Now, this person was actually going the other way. I could have not ever seen him, at least at that point in time, and they would have never known I was there. But when I saw them instantly, I kind of got angry. And see, here's the thing. I'm giving you what happens, how I do it. I got angry up here, but then down here, something began to talk to me. Saying, you know what? Are you going to keep that anger forever? So I went to that. I made a beeline to say hi to that person. I actually gave him a hug and meant it. You know, and we had a conversation. I had no issues with the conversation. And from that day, you know, forth, you know, it was, we never had any kind of ought or anything. In fact, later on, I mean, I was traveling, ran into them at an airport, and they pulled out my book and said, they keep my little book, The Power of God, said that they read this book all the time. You know, it's been a blessing to them. They keep it with them all the time, in their briefcase. And, you know, it just, an incredible thing, and I didn't have to say anything, but I felt something in my heart, and I wanted to get rid of that. And that's what we need to do. We shouldn't have a record of wrong. I gotta hurry. Verse number 6, it says, it does not rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. You know, when someone breaks their leg, we shouldn't put, well, they deserved it. Something bad happens to them, well, you know, it serves them right. Because I've seen that kind of stuff on Facebook. I just want to let you know. You know, there are some people. Now, some people aren't that vocal. Some people are behind the scenes happy when somebody else has something bad to happen to them. That's not love. That's not. Remember, my grandfather says to read this every day, but to put it into practice in your life. And I know these are tough things that happen sometimes, but I'm going to tell you, you got to be just like I am. You know, when your mind says one thing, you got to listen to your heart. And your heart needs to check you and change you. And if it does, man, your life will be whole lot better. All right? It goes on to say, that, you know, rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures through every circumstances. Man, if you love someone, you're gonna endure through everything. It doesn't matter what they do. I tell you what, man, if you love somebody, it doesn't matter what happens to them, you're still going to love them through it all. Now, I mean, there's a lot of people who have relatives in prison, they've done some bad things, but that doesn't stop you from loving them and caring about them, all right? But love endures through every circumstances. Love never gives up on somebody because, you know, there are some people that it seems like, well, they're never showing me love. You know what? Love keeps loving them in spite of them being mean. I mean, you just keep loving them. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. You can continue to love them through everything. Even when they're not lovely back to you, you still love them. You know, you never give up on them. God has a plan for their life. And maybe they're rejecting God. And maybe the reason they're rejecting God is because of the way you act. You know, just pray for them. Goes on to say, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. Love lasts us forever. It goes on to say, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only a part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. So you're saying, you know, right now we don't understand everything, and even if someone prophesies and they're right on, you still only know partial. But when everything becomes perfect, now when does that happen? When we all go to heaven? We all go to heaven, we won't need prophecy. We won't need, you know, we'll be able to communicate with everybody. You know, all those other things become useless, but love is so it's still what we need. Because when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly like a puzzling reflection in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And now I know it's partial and complete, but then I will know everything completely just as God knows me completely. Going back to childish things, I know as a child, I did some things that were probably unlovely. All right. Meaning, you know, we used to pick on certain people. You know, certain people had cooties, and if they touch you, you get cooties and stuff like that. I did it in second grade. I just want to let you know, I was mean to some people. You know, not that I, and it wasn't just me, we were all kind of picking on people, and that wasn't not good. But I was a kid, I didn't understand that I'm supposed to love everybody. And so that's what the Bible is saying. You know what, when you were a kid, you know, you can use that excuse, you're a kid, you don't really know a whole lot, but you're grown up now. You know the word. You know, I know sometimes we don't want to be a doer of the word because that person's mean, and that person doesn't always say nice things about it, and that person's rude. You know, but I remember a scripture here in the New Testament. Many of you might have read it, but you don't want to think about it. It says to pray for those that despitefully use you. Anyone ever read that? So you understand, someone that despitefully uses you, that means on purpose, they're mean, rude, and trying to do stuff against you. And what does the Bible tell us? It tells us to pray for them. Why would you pray? You pray for them because you continue to love them. And you know, you're like, man, that's hard. It's not hard. The Holy Ghost on the inside. What you have to do is renew your mind day by day. And that's why my grandfather says, if you'll read this every day, sooner or later it's going to kick in. Sooner or later it's going to kick in. And when it does, it'll change your life. It'll change everything about your life. And you know, goes on to say, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You know, here at our ministry, obviously, we have the mandate to go teach my people faith. You know, that was a mandate given to my grandfather. That's the mandate we give to all our students. You know, we believe that we should go to the lost and dying in the world and teach faith to this generation and every generation. And we love faith so much, we put it on top of our building. We put it on every kind of clothing, piece of clothing material that you could find. We even have faith golf balls. In fact, interesting story, I was attempting to play golf. I just want to let you know, sometimes I'm not really that good. And well, you know, I have an ability to hit the ball a long ways. Sometimes the long ways doesn't go straight. So I was golfing in Alabama. I think it was Birmingham, Alabama. And I happened to be woods golfing. Some of you have ever done that. You know, I'm going through the woods to find my ball that I just knocked in the woods that I wasn't going to hit because it was way in the woods. When lo and behold, I came across another ball that someone just left, and it happened to be a Faith golf ball that they had bought on our bookstore. And I'm like, man, did I hit that? No, I was using a Titleist. But I picked it up and put it in my bag. Looks like I'll pick all the lost balls. The great thing about woods golfing is you find other lost balls that other people lost, and they were too lazy to go in the woods. I'm too cheap to I shouldn't use that word, but you know, man, I spent good money for those balls. I mean, golf balls can be expensive sometimes. You know, and I'm like, that was a Pro V. I'm gonna go in those woods, you know, over the river, through the woods, and I'm gonna find that golf ball. So it was interesting, I found someone else's faith ball. So even though you have a faith golf ball, it doesn't mean you're gonna hit it straight. Just wanna let you know, I got, you know, offhand. But I mean, you know, we do believe in faith, but you know, it is interesting. It is also interesting that one of the last messages my grandfather preached was on love. And at his funeral, the most outstanding, you know, things about him that people would say was not about his faith walk, it was about his love walk. And you can get his book, Love the Way to Victory. It's out in the bookstore, or you can go to rhema.org/store. You can order it from Amazon or iBooks if you want the digital version. But you know, it's important to love one another. And I tell you, I mean, you know, according to what he said, prophesied, you know, according to what Mark Hankins said, I mean, it's pretty awesome. If we just get a hold of these scriptures, it'll change our life. These are life-changing scriptures. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, I walk in love. Well, are you not keeping record of wrong? Because if you're keeping a record of wrong, that's not walking in love. If you're being selfish and boastful and proud and rude and not patient, you know, impatient, it's not love. And, you know, so I'm just going to encourage you to do what he says. And I've heard him say it many, many, many times. He especially would talk about this if people are having marital issues. Anytime he said he did marriage counseling, he always encouraged you to read those. In fact, it might actually be good to read them in different translations just to see, you know, sometimes it gets a little more clarity or whatever. And so I want to read this once again. My grandfather said, if you read 1 Corinthians 13 and you walk in that God kind of love, he said, number one, you will find that sickness and disease will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily. All right. And he says, number two, you'll find the devil that's harassing you and tormenting you. He will also flee from you. Number three, you'll find that the provision, financial blessings that you have been believing for, that money will come. So what he was trying to say is what's blocking all these things from happening is you're having all the faith in the world. You're saying the right things. You're believing the right things, but you're not loving one another. Which goes down to, you know, Mark 11, 23 and 24. My grandfather talks about that a lot. But Mark 11, 25 and 26 is what you're missing it. And, you know, it's like, well, I'll do better. No, trying is lying. You don't try to do anything. First of all, the problem is many people are trying in their own self. It's not yourself. I mean, because yourself is, you're a human being. You have human emotions. I mean, I give you examples of many times that my outward self would say things and do things that, you know, my heart then would convict me. All right? Now, the more you read this and the more you get a hold of this, you even quit saying it on the outside. I mean, you quit thinking it because you start renewing your mind. And so I don't even get mad at people. You know, it really is hard for me to get mad at people. In fact, you know, sometimes I think I should be madder at people, but I'm not. I mean, you know, because really I don't have the capability to be mad. I mean, I watch my grandmother. I remember one time we were having this conversation and my grandfather was talking to another minister, and this minister was asking questions about another minister who I had known that there were some questionable things in his life or whatever. And this guy was asking my grandfather what he thought, you know, about this individual. And, you know, my grandfather was saying, you know, not saying anything mean or rude or bad about him. And my grandmother actually spoke up and says, well, Kenneth, why don't you tell him what you really think? And it was interesting what my grandfather says. He says, He says, you know, hon, that was a long time ago. I believe he's changed since then. Now, when he did that, that's what helped me. So what I do sometimes to stop getting mad or not loving someone, I just make excuses for them. Well, maybe they're having a bad day. Well, I'm sure they didn't mean it. They weren't trying to be. So what you do is you make excuses for them so you're not mad at them, because you know what? We all have bad days. I told you yesterday I was irritable. I wasn't acting lovely. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I was irritable. I was a little rude. You know, that wasn't walking in love. You know, but that's something else. The first thing you should be able to do is to see that you're not walking in love. And you know, hopefully you can see it immediately. Maybe it might take you a day to see it, but hopefully you see it. And hopefully you don't put it online and have to wait a whole day before you delete it. You know, the thing about it is, I believe this love thing is very, very important. And I think that love will change your life. And it is really kind of interesting that was his last message that he preached here at camp meeting. So basically his last warning to us, or last, you know, things to us, was to read it every day and it would change our life. And so that's why today I wanted to look through 1 Corinthians 13, but I want to encourage you to do what he said, because is to read it every day and not just read it, let that love of God dominate your life like that. You know, in fact, I just believe that people that are around you can see the love of God through you just by you just being normal. You know, and I believe, you know, the Bible says to be imitators of Christ. And then it says, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. See, Jesus imitated Christ. Jesus imitated God by showing forth God's love, you know, when he walked here. And we're supposed to imitate God and his love ourselves. Now, I do want to tell you, I do want to say this, there will be days that you miss it. All right, but what you need to do as quickly as you can, ask for forgiveness. You know, because if you wrong someone, if you didn't mean, just, you know, say, you know, just forgive me. Sorry, I had a bad day. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be mean or rude or whatever, irritable. You know, I didn't mean to be boastful or proud or jealous. I mean, you know, and sooner or later, you just won't do that anymore. It won't even be in your vocabulary. You won't hate people. You'll love people. It'll change everything about your life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. And we thank you, Father, to help each and every one of us to be a doer of God's word. Help us to understand the love of God like we've never understood it before. Help us to live the God kind of life through our love toward people. Whether these people are nice to us, whether they're rude to us, it doesn't matter, but help us to show forth God's love to a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we know many people are hurting right now. Many people are going through lots of hurtful things, and we thank you, Father, that you'll help us show forth love. Father God, also right now, we just pray for the people of Ukraine, Father. We just pray for protection over them. We pray for helping them and leading them and guiding them in every such a way. We pray for an end to all this fighting right now. We pray for peace in that country. We thank you, Father, that even in the middle of battle, that they'll have the peace that passes all understanding, and you'll lead them and you'll guide those people there, Father. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's in this room. And we thank you, Father, to help us to be able to be lovers and not haters. We thank you, Father, that when people talk about who we were and who we are, that they'll talk about that the love of Christ just goes all throughout us, Father. Father God, we thank you right now with heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Craig, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to do that this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray for you across this auditorium. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand. Or maybe you're here and maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've been a member of a church, but you've never actually asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life. My grandfather talked about having a know-so experience. You need to know you're saved. Just like you can live in a garage and not be a car, you can come to church and not be a Christian. So if you've never asked him to become Lord and Savior of your life, you can do that this morning. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or a third invitation, if you're here today and you've been a Christian at one time, but you've turned your back and you've walked away, and to this morning you say, I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want to miss anyone. Maybe someone's here today, and as we begin to talk about the love of God, you're like, you know what? I need to rededicate myself to God this morning. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here or anyone is watching online that's at this place that doesn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they shall be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. We'll pray.